And a big hello to all of our XRP Army News followers to the XRP Army News podcast. Our episodes, as you know, if you're following along with us, have been all over the board in a way, but also strained, especially for the influencers that you all follow on an almost daily basis, either on YouTube or on Twitter. And today's episode is no exception, because our guest today is Dustin Plantholt. Excuse me, Dustin. And he's going to tell us a lot about some of the work that's being done on the Kryptonaires documentary and some of his experiences along the way with that. And then we're going to dig a little deeper into some of his philosophies about cryptocurrency itself. Now, as you all know, the Kryptonaires documentary will be coming soon. And I know that all of those that are involved have told me several times that there's a lot of footage here, digital though it might be, but a lot of footage here. And it takes a while to gather it all together, to edit it properly, and get it ready to go on the screen. But I know all of us are anxious to see that. And if you want to catch up a little bit as they go along, then take a look at the Army News. We have a complete menu button that shows a number of teasers for the documentary that is coming soon. So without saying more and getting a little bit of the thunder away from Dustin, we will get started right now with everybody. Hey, good. Hello,
hi,
Dustin.
Everybody. Hi there.
Welcome aboard, my man. We're very glad to have you on today. You know, it is always interesting that folks of your, stature are so gracious with their time and their knowledge and their energy. And we at the Army News really appreciate your being with us today. Thank you so much.
Wow, you're telling me, you're making me blush. My stature, I'm just shy of 6 feet tall. So thanks for making me taller than I am.
Oh, well, we know better than that. Just to kind of kick things off, how did you get it involved in the cryptocurrency space? What was there some little epiphany that came off, or yeah. What happened?
Yeah. So I have a friend of mine. His name is Jeremy. He's in the mortgage business. A couple of years back, about 2 years ago, I think 2.5, 3 years ago, he and I were at a party, so at his house for New Year's, and he said, "Have you bought any Tron recently?" And I said, "No, I haven't been. I haven't been looking into the cryptocurrency space, or I haven't really been paying attention to it. A couple of years back, I bought some Bitcoin. I went from $300 to $700. I cashed out and went, yes, that's a win. So I think I pocketed maybe $1,000 during that process. I said, no. So what do you like, Tron? Why Tron? And he said, well, there's a couple thousand crypto tokens or as digital assets out there. I like Tron because what the founder's doing. That night I went home, I went online and I realized that Tron wasn't the only player or the only kid in town. While I had traded in Bitcoin in years past, as you know, like when you step away from the cryptocurrency scene, it's you literally start over. I mean, if you leave for any period of time, keeping up with it's nearly impossible. I mean, things happen on an hourly basis or at least on a day basis around the world. And this is something that connects us all. It doesn't matter where which country you're in. It doesn't matter your religious affiliation. It doesn't matter male or female. That you're a part of this community that keeps evolving without you if you're not participating or engaging with it. So it would have been about 2 years ago that I heavily decided to spend more time and attention. Being a little bit of the financial insurance side, I understand the terminology, so that was pretty easy to jump on. And then I saw an opportunity to create, candidly, generational wealth. I mean, what other opportunity would a guy like me get in his lifetime to be able to invest in something where truly could be life-changing money? And it is speculative, it could be, but I see the upside, and that's the reason I got in.
Well, you have to believe in what you're doing. So after just 2 years, it's kind of interesting that you're this deep into actually becoming a well-known figure in the crypto world, as well as doing something very unique, and that is coming up with a documentary about cryptocurrency in its present state. Now, how in the world did that come up? Because that alone is kind of a unique. Who wants to jump off and develop wings on the way down?
It's an interesting story. So I'm actually known more for my podcast. So Life's Tough is the website, LIF as in Franklin, ES as in Sam, Tough, TOUGH.com, lifestuff.com. And the podcast is inspirational. So Life Stuff, You Can Be Tougher. Everyone has a story and every story has a purpose. That's really our mantra and our model. This past July, I was invited by somebody I had on my show to Lisbon to come film a group that he's the president of called the Explorers Club. And his name is Richard Weiss, and Richard gave me this invitation. Can you come to Lisbon? Can you come tell the stories of the explorers and members of this club? I include Jeff Bezos, Buzz Aldrin, James Cameron. And so I went with really no preconceived notion other than, let me see if I can try to tell their stories and do it in a way that makes them look good. And much like I do on my show, I want people to shine. I think life's tough enough. Many times, if you are able to talk to somebody, interview them, they say things sometimes that they may not be such a fan of if they were to hear it back. So we really do our best to make people look their best. So back in July, I filmed my first documentary called The League of Explorationaires. A couple months back, about 2 months ago now, I went to a friend of mine, Brad Kimes. I was a big fan of Brad, his YouTube channel. Oddly enough, Brad lives about 30 minutes from me. I saw him one day with a t-shirt on his stream. I sent him a message going, are you in the area? And we talked offline. I said, well, I'm a wannabe filmmaker and a podcaster and a soon-to-be author. I love crypto. I'm passionate about it. And I have this way to at least be able to dumb it down so I can understand it. I'd like to turn this thing into a film. I'm going to do it. Would you like to join me? No pressure, no obligation. And so Brad said, well, what do you think? How do you think it's going to look? And I went, I think that we just start getting people to tell their stories. And I think the rest will happen organically. We put together a list of people that we wanted to have on, those from a community, the XRP community, or those from the Bitcoin community or the non-maxis. And then I went out to influencers that I had had on my show, my podcast. So Roger Ver, I had him on, Anthony Pompliano. And I went back to them and said, if I turn this thing into a TV style documentary, a docu-series, would you support it? And they said, yes. And then I reached out to a few other people, crypto influencers. I said, would you support it? And they said, yes. And I reached out to Chris Larson and said, hey, Chris, Swell's coming up. Can we come and share your story? And Chris Larson from Ripple said, yeah, come on. We'd love to have you. And so really everything's been happening organically. And it's been remarkable, man. I feel incredibly humble. That's a long dissertation, but that's how I got started.
No, it's great. And I'm sure it's kind of had a life of its own and grown along the way as well. You know, coming from maybe 10 people on your list, and then suddenly it's 20 people on your list the way too.
Yeah.
What is the making of this documentary? What are you learning from it yourself personally?
You know, that's a good question. That we have this expectation, because history repeats itself, that history will have to repeat itself in the same way. Many people are hanging on alt season. Like it's going to happen. Maybe, maybe not. I mean, we believe the things we want to believe because it's in our best interest. And I think many times, and I've had to do this myself throughout the series or through the filming of this, is why do I believe what I believe? You know, indoctrination, where you're born is what you're going to believe. What about your age? If nobody had ever told you where you were or how old you were, how old would you be? If nobody had indoctrinated you with the price is going to be 1,000 or 3,000 or 30, what would it be? And so indoctrination, I know it took off in my own life when it came to the crypto. When I got in, I watched the videos online and I let a lot of people really persuade me. While we say the word do your own research, doing your own research is not involving watching somebody's YouTube video. It's looking at the fundamentals of the project. It's going on LinkedIn and looking up who are the founders, who are the people involved with it. What are the companies that they've been to or they worked with? Where are they in the world? What associations do they belong to? Who's in their network? What college do they go to? That is considered doing your own research. And many times I found even with myself, I wasn't doing that. So much of this documentary has really been them teaching me. I asked them for counsel. I asked them for advice and say to them, here's what I believe. Tell me where I'm wrong, or at least give me another perspective on it.
Well, I know one of the people that we've had on one of our episodes, Cryptopolis, is one that studies everything in depth. He totally amazed me with the research that he has done along the way. But that is important. Doing your research is critical, even though we know that we can't know it all. There are unforeseen circumstances that may even blow up our own best research. Through your many interviews, what is one of the most unique interviews you've had so far?
That's a great question. I can tell you some of my favorite. I really enjoyed the one I did with Brock Pierce. Brock is an early crypto influencer, crypto guy. I just enjoyed it. It was fun. It was light. It wasn't heavy. Roger Ver. So Roger Ver is a good friend of mine. I consider him he's a crypto icon. Roger, getting into his head of how do you see something that no one else did? I mean, think about this, that many of these people that were in this in the beginning, they saw it before you and I did, yet it was still available. It was still there, yet we did not get attracted to it. We weren't, we weren't programmed that way. And many times when people see me online, and one of the things that I don't like about Twitter, I don't like about social media, is that because I say I'm a friend of somebody or I've got somebody in my circle, that it means I agree with everything they think or feel or do in their life. I'm like, no, I don't agree with everything that people say and people do. But that doesn't mean I can't respect them in certain areas or certain things that they've done, especially within the crypto space. I mean, if you're in this for the long term, then you should want all these candidates, you should want all these projects to make it. Because they, well, in some ways you might think of them as competition, they really work together behind the scenes. I can't share in terms of private conversations, but many of them are very friendly behind the scenes.
Well, I know you've had some unique things happen through your many trips that you've taken on behalf of this. I did get a chuckle out of your cameraman in the river.
Yeah, me too. I tried to capture. It's kind of funny. The poor guy, Ninja Shadow. I'm like, you didn't do too well there, Ninja Shadow.
But that was funny. And I know there's some other, outtakes that have happened along the way. Anything else besides the cameraman in the river that's happened that comes to mind?
Oh, gosh. You know, I will tell you, I'm okay with going on record because I hope he does hear this. There's only been one person that has turned down, candidly, turned down being on camera or being in the series, and did it in a way that I don't think made him look very good. Now, he may be a good man in other aspects of his life, but on this day, he wasn't at his best. I was with Charlie Schrem at Blockchain Week in Las Vegas, it was a month and a half ago. And I thought that Charlie would want to be in the film. Like, why not? Why wouldn't you want to be a part of something that, quite frankly, is all reaching? And I went up to Charlie and I said, hey, Charlie, Dustin Plano. Yeah, I know who you are. And I said, all right, well, Charlie, I'd like to have you, if we could have you in the film and have you tell your story. And he said, I will not be in it. And I won't be in it because of, I will not name the person, but because somebody that is in the film did not go on his podcast. So he was very offended that somebody that's going to be in our film did not go on his podcast. And so with that, he told me very candidly, I won't support this because that person didn't support me. And I thought that was rather odd. We all have good days. We all have bad days. But I was looking forward to meeting candidly. I was really excited to meet him. Like, oh my gosh, there's Charlie Schrem. And it was being let down is small. Again, we all have our days. I'm sure there's somebody go, man, that Dustin, he wasn't at his best. I went to the person that he said this to. And what he said is, Dustin, now you're learning what I have to deal with every day. If I don't do everything someone wants me to do, I'm the bad guy. And that's something that I've learned from these influencers, is that many times they're getting beaten on every single day for the wrong reason. Even the story, I'm saying this in terms of, I've been so tough on Charlie when at the end I go, well, imagine how many times people come up to Charlie, would you be in my video? Would you come on my show? And now maybe this one time in Charlie's life, he's like, hey, would you support me? Would you come on mine? And somebody tells him no. So I've had a lot of heart checking to do. That was one of the ones for me, it was a little more personal. And I'm hoping one day Charlie will come back around and say, hey, Dustin, look, man, I want to be on. I'd love to come on because I'm sure he's a great guy offline. Some of the people that I didn't expect were just cool. Like BitLord, I only ever heard bad stuff about BitLord. Trying to fork XRP. And I got to hang out with BitLord, and this guy was crazy. He's fun. Again, I don't believe or do everything that he does, I got to meet lots of other people that you only know them through their personas, their alter egos on the internet, and you get to talk to them offline. This morning, I talked to somebody offline, Bitcoin Dad, aka Altcoin Dad. Just incredible, man. What a cool guy. Kind, genuine. Satoshi Flipper is a good buddy of mine as well. Scott Melker is a good friend of mine. And these might be names some of you aren't familiar with. These are people in the cryptocurrency community. Phenomenal traders to follow. Crypto Burb, B-I-R-B, the Burb's Nest. It's a trading group that I belong to. I think it's probably one of the better trading groups out there where you can learn the fundamentals. Like, as I said, I started 2 years ago, 3 years ago, having other people that know more than me teach me the fundamentals. I mean, it's necessary. If you want to be in cryptocurrency and you want to make money, unless you're a long-term holder, and then say time will tell on that aspect. But if you want to make it in the short term, you're going to have to be a trader. And to be a trader, you need someone that knows more than you to give you counsel.
Well, I've noticed that most of the people we've had on our episodes aren't strictly XRP. And that's fine with us, because we believe that the cryptocurrency field is broader than bigger than all of us. Now, you can pick and choose because you're looking for the best advantage, your own best advantage. Mm-hmm. But along the way, XRP certainly has some strong muscle behind it with Ripple and the people that are developing that. But there are other currencies that make sense. I assume you're diversified as well, Dustin. Is that right?
I am, but I'm not one of those that have long-term. Let me take it back. I've got some long-term bags. I don't over-diversify. I do know some people buy 20, 30. And I can tell you, pre this documentary, I now get advice. I mean, I get some of the smartest people in this space that say, hey, Dustin, stop doing that. I can tell you, there are very few influencers that believe in the success of XRP. You'd be surprised. I will not name names, but some of the biggest names out there, they believe it's much like kind of like, you know, Google Ventures, or they buy, they're making investments long term, that Ripple is using XRP. I'm telling you, this is what they state, that they believe that XRP is really the funding mechanism behind the business, funding Ripple's their entire empire. So there are people that are completely against XRP for that reason. Of you realize you're putting your hard-earned money into an asset or to buy this token, and they also own this as well, but they're doing it to increase their valuation or increase their holdings of some other company. And so I've had to kind of look at this from a nonpartisan perspective and say, I can't disprove them. I can't say, you're wrong, because that's what they're doing. And it's their asset. They're allowed to. I mean, look, if I held 40, 50 billion XRP, of course I'd start selling it to buy something. Of course I would. So on the other side of it is, but when they're selling it, they're usually buying something that will build out the ecosystem. So long term, it's in my best interest. And so looking at it from all perspectives, but XRP is not as loved when you go outside of the XRP community. And I'm telling you, I understand why. I've never received, with my podcast, I've never received hate mail before. Some of the messages that come at me online have just been truly cruel. There's some amazing people, there's just some mean people, man. Some people that, let's say, hurting people hurt people. So I try to be careful not to spread too much of what I think or my opinion, because somebody else, it might send them over the edge. But that's been a personal challenge of, now that some people call me an influencer, is, well, if I tell you what I think, you might not like it, then you're going to look down on me. But if I don't tell you what you think, well, then I'm not being honest. So I'm trying to find that balance, candidly. I diversify. I believe in projects with utility. Utility will drive price. Speculation is pump and dump. The terms of Ponzi scheme, well, it is a Ponzi scheme if there's nothing backing it. If it's only worth what the next person's willing to pay coming in, then the price comes up or comes down. That's where utility is needed, or cryptocurrency won't survive. It's got to be utility. There's got to be a purpose. Bitcoin is digital gold. I do not see Bitcoin being replaced, as slow as you might think it is. as expensive as it might, you might think it is, it's been around the longest and it's gained the most respect. It should be, if you invest in crypto, it should have, candidly, it should be at minimum 50% of your holdings, the market. And again, I'm diversified because others smarter than me give me lots and lots of counsel. We get caught up in the emotion of what we think and what we feel. But if you were to listen to the people that made it, the people that succeeded, and the people that continue to succeed, I mean, I talk to people that do this for a living, and they'll tell you, you'd be crazy to sit on long-term bags. You're crazy to do it because you're losing the opportunity to make a 6% or 30%. Anyway, I'm not telling you that all strategies are right for everybody, but Bitcoin should absolutely be part of your crypto holdings.
Now, I realize you're not a financial advisor.
I am not a financial advisor.
And just to clarify that in advance.
I'm not a financial advisor. I've never pretended to be one. I'm not one on TV. Do not listen to my advice and think it's going to make you money.
You just play one on TV. Come on.
I don't play one on TV either. I'm telling you.
Now, that being said, do you feel comfortable in making any suggestions on how to diversifications that people might at least investigate on their own before they go into it?
I like to do your own research. I mean, do your own research, what that includes to me. And this was prior to these people giving me advice, what I believe doing my own research was, it was watching YouTube videos. That was what I thought was doing my own research. Listening to somebody on Twitter and tell me what they think, or somebody on Facebook. That was my DYOR. Now my DYOR is going to the website of the company that is pushing it, or backing it, looking at their white paper, reading it, looking what partnerships they have, going online, linking in with them. I mean, these people, their business, they're in the business community. Look them up. Who do they know? Who's in their circle? Where have they worked? What references do they have out there? If you're going to put your hard-earned money, if you're going to take money that you have earned, like I started off in foster care. Everything I have is, frankly, because I earned it, because I worked hard, first one and last one to leave. We all have a little bit of luck in life, and people say, luck has nothing to do with it. I'm like, well, I think everyone has a little bit of luck. At the same time, projects that I think long-term that can survive will be those, candidly, that have been out the longest. They have the competitive advantage being in the market for 5 years or 7 years or even more. I like a mix. So you can have a high cap, mid cap, low cap. I just got the phone with somebody somebody that's been cryptonaires. He'll tell you he only invests on the low cap side. He likes those that are ranged like in that 20 million, 5 to 20 million, because that's the biggest upside opportunity. So I am not a financial advisor. If I was super successful at cryptocurrency, guys, I'd be somewhere right now. You would know where I was. I'd be doing something else. So anybody that claims that they have all the answers, candidly, they'd be retired. They'd be gone if they had this thing down to a science. You can't. It's no inverted head and shoulders in the 1 hour and 4 hour and these candles. And like, it's impossible, because you change one metric and the whole thing changes. But there are some people that are right 73% of the time, or 87%. I mean, Brad and I will never forget. There was an interview. I don't know if it played or not. An interview we did in Las Vegas at Blockchain Week. And Brad interviewed this gentleman. And he was giving his predictions, candidly, what was going to happen a week from now. He said, I'm telling you, the price of XRP is going to go from this to, I think it was 87 cents or $1.17, and Bitcoin Cash will rise from. And I said, why do you believe that? And this is what the person said. Because he talks to me. And he pointed up and he said, because he's telling me, I'm telling you, God has spoken to me clearly and has told me this is what will happen. And so when you hear that, you go, well, I don't think that makes that's a good decision to buy based on that. But yet this person is now telling thousands upon thousands of people around the world to buy based upon, I had this vision, and a higher power clearly told me what's going to happen in the market a week from now. I sent Brad a text yesterday, kind of laughingly, and I said, I guess a false prophet. It didn't happen. He's like, I know, it didn't happen. So many times people go on YouTube and they'll make buying decisions based upon what a YouTuber puts out, or they go on Twitter buying based upon. To me, the better traders online, the people that know, will put out a trading view or some sort of marker to tell you, this is what's happening. I project it to go up, or I think it'll go down. Personally, I love those traders that do that. When people give advice online and they show you, it's going to go one of two ways. It's either going to go up or it's going to go down. And if it starts at this line, it goes up, I think it'll go there. But if it goes down to this, I don't like when people draw and say, no, it's going this way. I'm like, nah, that's, but there's so many variables at play in the market. You can't time it. It's impossible to time. There's still upside opportunity, but Scott Melker, good friend of mine, he'll tell you most traders lose money. They don't. Not very few people make money, especially in the day trading.
How often have you watched bell curves and triangles and it just kind of said, okay, well, you know, let's.
Yeah. I mean, Charlie Marr is one of the better traders out there. I mean, he's kind of the opinion. He'll do, I think it was off my head, I think 10% on a short, 30%, no, this might be doing it wrong, 30% on a long, then another 20. So he'll hedge his bet on the long side, the short side, but then sets, he doesn't set stop loss. I don't think he sets a stop loss. But these are all things that, guys, candidly, up until the past couple months, I knew nothing about. Like, knew nothing. These people have really let me into their heads to help me help me learn more. So I don't throw away my money and keep seeing negative returns.
But just to dig a little deeper right now, with cryptocurrency is affected by all kinds of things, and that's a global market, the liquidity of the money that's available in the marketplace is being affected now by our interest rates around the world. The Fed, of course, has dropped the interest rates so much that we're now corporate debt is higher than it's ever been because corporations can borrow money cheap, and they borrow the money and they buy back their stock, and there's the debt sitting there right in the middle of it. But in your opinion, do you think we're in a false economy right now?
False economy, false sense of security? Is that really the question? I'm not an economist. I can only tell you that sustainability long term. So where I live, my family and I were driving this past weekend, and the road was like, now I take this script which I say it, but the road was something that you would not think would be in the United States. You would think it would be in some third world country. The roads were falling apart, and I say that in the sense of this economy, the United States. It is such a large territory of land to cover. Just alone when it comes to bridges and roads and infrastructure, the cost associated with the upkeep, I don't think our model is sustainable without increasing taxes. And if you increase taxes, you're penalizing the people. And if you penalize the people, you lose the ones that have the wealth, and you're gonna hurt any sort of creative freedoms going forward that could have otherwise incentivize somebody to want to buy a business or to start a company to take some risk. I think we've got a lot of problems. I think that the bigger the problems get in this country, the more unsustainable they get. I don't think that spending problem, I don't believe, you know, so I was talking to somebody earlier on my show, Ben King. Hopefully you guys can tune into the episode. Life's tough. Ben King is tougher. A Roman historian. And there's nothing new under the sun. You know, look at what happened to the Roman Empire. They spread themselves a little too thin. And I think, unfortunately, that's what our country's been doing for a long time. And it's something that we're watching. We're all watching it. And yet, I don't think anybody really knows the solution of how to stop it because we're just too big. In many ways, we're too fractured. It's Democrats are the bad guys. No, I'm telling you, Republicans, they're the enemies in this. So you have both sides. They keep attacking each other. So no, I don't believe it's sustainable. False sense of security. I think they've been pumping money into the system more than any of us could ever imagine to keep this thing afloat, at least for the next president or for the next term, or just keep putting a Band-Aid on it, hoping that it fixes itself.
Well, even in the repo market they've been putting somewhere of, $90 billion a day sometimes into just shore up the banking and the federal monetary system. That shows us that we're already headed that direction. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist. I just look at the numbers. Why are they putting that much money every day? And that'll continue, according to all reports, through the first quarter of next year.
Yeah. But I will also say, I would say in our little bit of our defense is that we are not the only country doing that. We're just the only country. We're one of the few countries with enough transparency where we have to acknowledge it and we have to tell the rest of the people. But I think that if we were to look under the covers around the world, we would find that there are many, many nations that are not reporting it, because if they did, it'd be all out riots. People be running on the banks. There wouldn't be anything left on the shelves. There'd be so much fear. So I think a lot of it is smoke and mirrors, but I think it's around the entire world. I don't think it's just US based. And I think that our government is doing, if you said to me, do I think Democrats want to destroy the country? I said, hell no. Do I think Republicans want to destroy the country? Of course not. I do think that politics get in the way. I think that it's challenging to make everybody happy. I mean, look, with this film, I mean, I've got people in line. Some people think what I'm doing is awesome, and others go, I can't believe you would interview Jed McCaleb from Stellar. Do you realize what they just did by burning tokens? So you can't make everybody happy. And I think that's one of the things that I've learned is my own heart, is before I go judge others, what would people say about me, or what decision would I make? And I think that's the challenge we all have, is looking at ourselves before we're pointing the blame, we're pointing the finger.
That's very well stated, Dustin. I agree entirely. We can look at it from our vantage point, but we have a very, very limited vision point or vantage point to look from. We're not standing at the top of the hill. We're standing down in the foothills.
Absolutely.
Trying to figure out what's going on.
You got it. People think, like, New York City is a perfect example. If you've ever been to New York, people say, it's amazing. New York's so safe. And my thought is, do you realize how many bad things are prevented probably every single week? Every week that something is stopped, something that was going to happen, or every month something catastrophic, and that you didn't hear about it, you weren't told about it because they know your peace would be taken away. The same thing rings true when it comes to what is happening in this country or countries around the world. If you knew everything, you would have no peace. And to me, being the president of this country, being the president of any country, being the leader of any country, I think it's incredibly challenging, because you're privy to information that the rest of us don't know. We only know what news sites give us. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. So like them or love them, at least in terms of the United States, we all have our weaknesses. We all have our things that we don't do right. I think having the job of being the president is incredibly tough. And I don't think any of us, if we had it, we would be loved by everybody. It'd be impossible.
That would be interesting, even if I were loved by everybody. So I can't even imagine.
I'll ask you this, Chris. So we just came back from overseas, and how many people were so quick to tell me what they thought about our president, how they didn't like him, how they hate him, how they went on. And my thought is, politics aside, why would you want your president to fail? Like, why would you want the president of the United States to be shamed, to be removed from office? Like, you think that's a good thing for the nation? Again, I'm not a fan of either party, but I understand why everybody thinks what they think. Like, I get it. You feel what you feel. You believe what you believe. Like, I in cryptocurrency, so Satoshi Flipper, you guys should look him up online. Satoshi Flipper is his name. He and I were talking about this. I said, Satoshi, cryptocurrency does not have a money problem. There's not a money problem. There's enough money out there that could flow into this thing and would make everybody's wildest dreams come true. You know what we have? We've got a people problem. If you look at the people in the space, would you candidly want them to educate your kids? Do you think they're role models for your children? Some of them. Well, some of them are. Others? Look at some of the things said online. You wonder why people don't want to bring their hard-earned dollars into cryptocurrency? Go online to Twitter, hang out there for a week. You see some of the nasty vulgarity that's out there, even some of the nudity. The things that people do and say to build their I don't know, their social media circle, their presence, we've got a people problem. And that if crypto doesn't survive, it's not because there wasn't enough money out there. There's trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, but it's a people problem. When I hear people saying, and they're bragging about this, by the way, I called my friend a stupid idiot because he's not investing, and I told my family members, well, I'm going to become a millionaire, and you're going to be sitting here. I go, this is how you approach people? You don't approach them with love. You don't approach them with kindness. You're approaching them with, I'm going to be wealthy, you're not. Or if you don't invest, you're somehow less intelligent than me. It's a people problem. We can be so caught up on the passionate side of what we think and what we feel but we don't always see how we're being perceived. I think that many people, that if you want to know, it's what others would say behind your back. That to me is the testament to character. I had an opportunity, so I go to a men's group with my adopted uncle. I'm not super religious. I don't want people to think I am. I'm not hyper-religious. But there's a men's group that I belong to, and my uncle, cardiologist, adopted uncle, I went with him, and the question was asked of all of the men in this room, and it was on the board, and it said, at the end of your life, and you're supposed to fill in your name, so at the end of Dustin's life, and then you put your name here, Dustin loved ... the most. And it was a question I had to ask myself of, at the end of my life, my legacy on social media, my legacy in my family, my legacy to my friends, what will my legacy be? Dustin loved. And I had to be honest, and I wrote it down. It was honest. I said, at the end of Dustin's life, Dustin loved Dustin the most. And I got very emotional, and it hit me to realize that this is who I've become, that I love me the most. I look out for me, I. And it started this journey that I wanted to be different. I lost my sister 3 years prior. I was very angry, coming from foster care. My sister was really my family. My mother, unfortunately, had made some decisions. She left the family early on, came back later. But I had a decision to make. Was I going to let this anger and this frustration, was I going to let it tear me up, or was I going to let it fuel me? And so I personally made it a journey to say that it doesn't have to be about you. That while, yes, it's about making your life better and you finding your purpose, that you can bring others with you. You can help others. I call it through the tipping point moment. You know, an instance when either the person chooses to continue to be victim, or when the person finds the strength to rise above their situation. And I think cryptocurrency for me has been this place where I can meet people around the world, and I can maybe inspire some of them to dream bigger, to think bigger, but to be realistic in their thoughts. Because the last thing I want is somebody to lose it all. And guys, the truth is, this market, cryptocurrency, it could not survive. It might not survive. There's a 1% chance, who knows, a 30% chance. There are so many factors at play that it might not. It might be regulated out. Or your wildest dreams could come true. And as I believe, wealth creation, I wouldn't be in this if I didn't think truly that it's a single greatest opportunity at wealth creation, generational wealth creation. And that's why I'm in it. But when you're approaching your friends and family, what do you love the most? Because if you love yourself the most, they're not going to want to jump in this. But if you say, this is another asset class, it's something that could go up. It could go up beyond your wildest dreams. If you do your own research and look at some of the projects out there, you would see that this is really changing the world for the better. Some of these technology companies out there, from scannable technology to be able to scan where did that beef come from. You know, companies like VeChain, that they actually put a QR code, not innovative, but a QR code on a package. And you can scan the package and it'll tell you, this is where the cow lived. This is the name of the cow. Assuming the name, they had a name of the cow. This is the diet the cow had. Everything about the cow's life. So, or for things like a watch to clothing, to footwear, that many times around the world, unfortunately, there are underground organizations. They make replicas and they make fake versions of it that now you can determine if it's real or not. So if you're going to encourage your family and friends, it starts with knowing who you are first. Are you somebody that they would want to buy from? To me, this documentary has been less about the influencers and more about me getting to learn myself of, you know, I thought the world revolved around me. I thought I was awesome. I get to meet people that they've done things much greater than myself, and they give back with everything that that they earn along the way. So that's what I want Kryptonaires to be. It's about giving. It's not about taking.
Well, your journey has been not thorough yet, because you're nowhere close to the end of it. But I can certainly understand that it's an humbling experience to be with these people, and even to be able to ask them questions, sometimes deep questions, that they may not want to answer, but still keep it warm and make sure they know that they're important to the people that will be your audience. And I think that's I can see how that's humbling. And by the way, the statements you just made as far as yourself, using yourself as the center of the world, is not the way to succeed in life. It just does not work. Giving is more important. There's no doubt in my mind, after many years of having to wrestle with that very same thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I do think we have some hope here that I think I saw on your Twitter feed, you were talking about Fidelity Digital Assets about to open up. What's that all about?
So I am not, by the way, I am not an expert in all thing news. I like to look what's going on in the market. Fidelity, they're entering the crypto space as a digital asset custodian. So they're going to be holding Bitcoin. This allows new money to come in. This allows protection. I mean, think of this. You're a very wealthy, seasoned investor, or you're a fiduciary for somebody else's wealth. And you hear about an exchange getting hacked and people got to wait months and months and months and months for them to get something back. Why would you put your money in cryptocurrency? Or you hear people losing their keys, or people misplacing passwords, or people hacking others. I mean, Michael Turpin, so we had Michael on, we interviewed him for this series as well. Michael's a big investor. He had, I think the number was $25 million stolen from him through a SIM swap. So somebody had called in to his phone carrier. You can Google this. Somebody called into his phone carrier, and I think I have the facts right. Basically pretended to be either a family member of his or him, somewhere along those lines. Regardless, somebody on the inside then, because somebody working there at the phone carrier apparently, and this is what I know from him and the others, is that they were in on it as well. And so his phone number got switched out so someone could get access to everything. And they swapped him. And that's not the first time I've heard of the SIM swap. Somebody else, it happened to them as well. That they said, I also had money stolen from me, crypto stolen from me that way. Because then you get the person's phone number. Then you can send yourself the code and you can get into anything. So these people, high level attack. I had an influencer, well, obviously will not name the name, that said, I am afraid to ever tell anybody where I am, where I'm going, or anything about my personal life, because I know there are people out there, people that know how much wealth I have, and that what they'll do, they'll come and kidnap me or they'll kidnap my family. And so when we look at the dark side of this, you wonder why the regulators, some of them want to shut it down. Like, is that such a shock? Like, regulators actually want to stop this thing. Would you blame them? When they hear people are losing their money and being hacked and they've lost 30% of their investments, you really think that they want it? Like, why would they want it to continue? Well, you have the other side that goes, well, those are the bad actors, right? Those are the bad people. Now, there's a lot of good people too. And they're saying, but we have to regulate it. If we regulate it, well, at that point, then we can stop most of this. And I am one of those that says, without government regulation, your wildest dreams will not come true. Without the government coming in and taking this thing over, or at least maybe over-mandating it, your wildest dreams will not come true. So people get frustrated when they see the government is taking its time. And my response is, what do you think they should race out so you could get wealthy? So the price of the coin will go up. I go, well, but that's good for you, but it may not be good for somebody else. And so it's the regulators, and they've explained it to me in this way. So now I'm passionate about that, the way that they've said it, is that what do you expect? This industry is full of so many bad people, truly bad human beings that are looking to steal from you, that are doing things illegally, and we want to protect you from those people. We want to do our very best to stop them. So I understand why it's taking as long. I'm frustrated. I want to go faster. And there's no argument. Of course, traditional fiat is used in the same capacity. I'm like, hey, no, I'm not arguing that. But this is a space that they can regulate. And it's much easier to regulate cryptocurrency than it is dollars. Much easier. That's paper money. This is digital. It can be tracked. And that's why they're taking their time.
Well, it's going to make for an interesting several years as the regulations start to mount and they figure out exactly what they can do and can't do. We're getting close to the end, and I want to read something, a quote from Ray Dalio of the Bridgewater Group. I don't know if you know the name Ray or not, Dalio, but he made this statement in a Yahoo Financial meeting that was held recently. And based on your travels and your discussions with the many different people around the world, involved in not only cryptocurrency, but in finance in general and the global economy. I'd like to read this and just get your opinion. So bear with me while I read it out.
Yes, sir.
Ray says, in my opinion, we're near the end in the late stages of a reserve currency system. It's a fiat monetary system. Not only do we have negative rates, but we are going to have much higher deficits. And that's not half the story, because the larger story is the unfundable liabilities. Those are pension liabilities and debt liabilities. Based on what you've seen around the world, can you add to that or even comment on it in any way?
Boy, so I look at the world's reserve currency right now being the US dollar. I think that the challenge of removing that is too big. I've heard people that have used the comment, I'll use XRP because it's XRP Army News behind you, that there's a group of people that believe XRP will be the world currency, the one reserve, or say the bridge to rule them all. I think that there are bigger challenges than that. I don't think it's as easy as people think. Because then what happens to another part of the world, they're not going to be able to just implement it as quickly as we all want them or we believe they will. I do believe that a global recession is on its way. I think it's going to happen, just a matter of time. I can only speak to the United States in terms of the retail sector because I haven't done my due diligence anywhere else. We look at the retail scene, how many retail businesses have gone out of business? How many clothing stores, how many footwear stores? And somebody out there will probably do the number, and it's in the tens of thousands that have gone out of business. And they got out of business because it's not sustainable anymore. But I do believe the cream will rise to the top. And you look at the business model that Amazon's done, the reason that they've been so successful and they keep taking over industry after industry is their model of efficiency. And that's where cryptocurrency comes in. It's a more efficient model. And that's why I believe in the end it must survive. It has to survive because of its efficiency. There's not going to be a paper currency that beats it. My aunt is under the opinion of biblical times, the book of Revelation, one world currency. And I would agree with her in the sense of cryptocurrency is one world currency. I mean, right now, it is one world currency. Anywhere, everywhere. What do you need? What do you want? That cryptocurrency allows you that opportunity. It doesn't discriminate between the dollar to the franc to the Swedish crown to the euro to the yen. It's widely accepted. I mean, Bitcoin Cash, in my opinion, is one of the better tokens or assets out there. If you go on bitcoin.com, you can look to see where Bitcoin's accepted and cafes. And if you said, why is it good for the establishment? The answer is because they don't have to pay the mob fees. They don't have the 3% or 4% or 5% fees that many of these banking institutions or these credit card companies that they charge on their terminal fees. That's why Bitcoin Cash is accepted. So I think adoption is going to be challenging to go to mainstream. As I said earlier, we have people problems. Think about who we have as ambassadors. Some of the ambassadors out there may not be the best ambassadors for the rest of the world. So until the Fidelity goes all in or the TD Ameritrades go all in, or some of these other large financial institutions or trading houses, you're not going to be able to see mass adoption. It just can't happen without them jumping in.
Well, just to cap off what Ray said, he made one other statement. And this kind of rings from many things I've heard throughout the cryptocurrency world about the fiat system and so forth. But in this statement, he says, the system doesn't work. It's gone mad. The reason the system is broken is because it's not an equal opportunity system. In other words, it's not a level playing field. We hear that all the time in XRP world or in the other areas. How do we level the playing field? Does that ring true with you?
Yeah, I can tell you the key is going to be interoperability in the end. If there's interoperability where systems can connect, then you're going to see many of these different blockchains, are many of these different assets, cryptocurrencies being able to work together in tandem. But you're right, the current system itself is not sustainable. I think because the cryptocurrency community or the cryptocurrency space has, because it's gained such massive, not the word adoption, but it's been seen wide and far, and it's been, the President of the United States talked about it. You have something that can never be undone. And I think that that starts the next thing. I do believe there's going to be a 2.0 and a 3.0 and a 4.0. I think that we're on our way there. We're right now, guys, in the 2.0 version. The 2.0 version is, to us, it's amazing and it's exciting. And it's, can you believe? I go, just wait to see what 3.0 looks like. And when people go all in on one coin or one asset, a little bit of my concern is, but you haven't seen 3.0 yet. You've seen others that say, no, ours is 3.0. I go, you will know when it's 3.0. Right. Like Bitcoin, that's the beginning of 2.0. Like, you will know when it's Bitcoin. You will know when the next makes or the next survives. Interoperability is going to be key. On the trading side, tokenization, platforms like TradeFinex, their token is called XDCE by TradeFinex. I think that the tokenization side is the next big thing that's going to explode around the world. I just came back from Liechtenstein. And in Liechtenstein, they have the Tokenization Act, the Blockchain Act, that passed, and it gets implemented January 1, 2020, so around the corner. It allows you to tokenize rights and assets. So think about your ability to be able to tokenize a commercial real estate building, or to tokenize a car collection, to tokenize some sort of assets. You want to go out to mine, I don't know, mine somewhere in outer space that you could probably fairly quickly tokenize it and raise the funds without all the headaches that come on the regulatory side. That will come eventually, but at least right now, there are certain countries that are more open to it. And those countries, in my opinion, they will far succeed in the end. I think the US, because we're such a big battleship, we're not nimble enough, we won't act quick enough. And I think we're gonna lose a lot of business. We're gonna lose a significant competitive advantage to countries like Singapore and to countries like Liechtenstein, Malta, and I probably there should be a bunch of others on that list. But the U.S. is also too big. I mean, look how many states we have. How do you get everybody to decide, everybody to agree? Our country is just, we have a large country, and that's some of our challenges as well. So I don't beat on the regulators. I wish they moved faster, but I don't have their job and I don't get to hear all the bad. They get to see all the bad. They rarely get to see the good.
Very good point. As we're getting close to closing out, I want to turn the table back around to the first of the discussion, and that's to talk about the Kryptonaires documentary. I mentioned this to Brad when Brad was on the episode, and it's kind of my opinion of what I think about the documentary that you guys are putting together. And I look at it as a time capsule, if you will. I look back in time, and I use the example of when people come up to you and they've got something in their hand and they say, this is a floppy disk. They're going to go, what's a floppy disk? You know, what are you talking about? At the same time, when we're sitting here at crypto 1.0 or crypto maybe 1.5, whatever the case might be, it's the wild, wild west. It really is. There's so much happening, and there'll be so many that will fall aside and so many others that may come and take their place and be bigger than anything we've seen before, that may take over.
That's right.
That one currency aspect. But right. We don't know that right. But you guys are putting together a snapshot in time, a time capsule, if you will, a snapshot in time of what is going on right now in that world. And I think it will be something that will be reviewed over the next several decades as that really happened that way? Were those people really thinking that at that time? And you guys will be responsible and acceptably lauded for your work in putting this one together. And I'm very, very proud of what you're doing there.
Well, the way you just said it made us sound pretty awesome. So thanks for doing that. It's been a journey. I can't tell you, I'm not tired. I'm a bit fatigued because speaking for myself, and I also speak for my partner, Brad Kimes, all it takes is all you got. You know, we didn't want to let the community down. I wanted to do this right. He wanted to do it right. We wanted to have the people that were involved and the people that are in the community tell their story. And it's a docuseries. This thing's not going to be at the movie theater. It was never meant to be that. It was, what's your name? where are you from? How'd you get into crypto? Like, how did you do it? So you have an alter ego. Tell us about your alter ego. Guy Bagsy. So Bagsy is a buddy of mine. You should look him up. B-A-G-S-Y. So Bagsy, you've never disclosed who you are before. That's correct. No. All right. Why? Well, quite frankly, because there's a lot of people in the world that I don't want to know who I am. I go, makes sense. It's been a journey, man. I feel incredibly blessed. I usually have a smile on my face for a reason of the people that are now in my life because of it. I have some of the biggest names in the world in cryptocurrency that know my name. And I go, that's so cool. Like, it's a dream that if you set goals, why isn't it achievable? Now, you've got to have your action plan. I call it your cookbook. You got to put your cookbook together first. So anytime in life, you have a thing or desire or need, where you want to go with your business, is it starts with your cookbook. What's plan old cookbook? What's Dustin's cookbook going to be? So you look at a famous chef. You know, let's say we had Emerald here. It's all right, Emerald. Go. I'd like you to make me, and I love banana cream pie. Make Dustin banana cream pie. I go back, look in a cookbook. All right. That if you don't put in the ingredients, you're not going to have banana cream pie. If you don't do the recipe right, you can make tweaks to the recipe along the way. Well, so for me, this docuseries was really, can we do it together? I want the community. Can I convince, and I couldn't convince Charlie, but hopefully I will one day. Can I convince people that candidly online and social media are enemies? People that do not like each other because you've got, I don't know, Link Marine over here, and you've got a Bitcoin maxi, and you've got an XRP enthusiast, and you've got, can I convince all these people to come together for one moment to tell a story that's never been told before, told by people that enjoy the space or passionate about the space, and to make them look good, because some of them, they say things that might offend somebody else, or they might do things that you and I might not agree with, and they might continue to do things we may not agree with, but could we bring them all together, at least for one moment, as you said, in history? And I'm very proud that we were able to bring together as many people, Charles Hawkinson, Brock Pierce, Charlie Lee, gosh, Jed McCaleb, David Schwartz, Michael Arrington, Michael Turpin, the list just goes on, and it's just been, it's been remarkable how many people go, we want to support it. I go, great, we want you to as well. So I feel, I can't keep saying enough, I feel incredibly blessed and that they've all placed their trust, candidly, they've placed their trust in me. I'm a fiduciary. And then the crypto influencers. I mean, the people that I now know online on social media that are from social media, they trust me. These people have, their full-time job now is cryptocurrency, and they're trusting me with their brand. And I don't take that lightly. People that have hundreds of thousands of followers. And they're putting their faith in us. So it's with that I'm most proud of, to say, we did this together. And it took all of us. It wasn't Dustin. It wasn't Brad. It took the XRP Army News. It took everybody to tell the story.
That's fantastic. And I know that you'll be providing us with a date when it's ready to rock and roll, as soon as you know what it is yourself. So in that process, yeah. Would you like to tell everybody once again how to follow you, reach you, and how to keep up with Dustin?
Yeah, all right, so keep up with Dustin. It might be kind of hard. I can't keep up with Dustin right now. It's kind of crazy. So follow me on Twitter, LIFES, as in Sam, Tough, TOUGH, many. One, MEDI, the number one. It should have been Life Stuff Media. I don't know. They screwed it up in the past, and I just kept it. Life's Tough, Medi, MEDI, the number one. Life's Tough, Medi, one. Cryptonaires, CRYPTONAIRES, as in Sam, .movie, is our holding page right now till our official website launches, and that'll be cryptonaires.co. So that's how you guys can join us on the journey. My YouTube channel is Life's Tough Media. LIFES, Tough, TOUGH, Life Stuff Media, and come join the journey with us.
Very good. Dustin, thank you so much for sharing your time, your knowledge, and your travels with us here at the XRP Army News.
And thanks for having me.
We'll look forward to having you back again as things progress on the documentary as well. So thank again. Thanks again. I appreciate it very much, Dustin.
You got it. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much for listening in. Take care, everybody.
Okay, folks, you know, with someone like Dustin holding down the fort and keeping up with the influencers that some of you may not even know their names because they are behind the scenes, but they're the ones that are making it happen. They're the ones that are keeping it rolling forward. And thanks to Dustin and his upcoming documentary, along with Brad and, I mean, many other people behind it, we're going to know a lot more about this industry. And we thank them so much for that. Now, in the meantime, if you want to find out more about the XRP Army News, download this to your phone using the URL connect.xrparmynews.com. And that will put an app on your phone, which is, by the way, takes up no memory. It's a progressive web app, and it takes you and lets you see everything. It'll take you right to your favorite influencers' YouTube page, to their Twitter page, and to the live feed on the current prices of various cryptocurrencies and many other things that you will see on there. It's your central location for keeping up with the news in XRP specifically, but stay tuned because other things are going to be happening soon in the future. Thank you for joining us for this episode, and thanks to Dustin again for sharing his knowledge and his travels with us. I'll talk to you all very soon on our next episode.